The chair of the Fed says it's perfectly fine for her to talk about income inequality. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Some Republicans in the House of Representatives think America's central bank gets too involved in politics. This became clear during sometimes testy exchanges during a State of the Economy hearing yesterday. The male voice is Representative Mick Mulvaney, Republican of South Carolina. The female voice is Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen. I'm just going to let this run for a bit.
I've described trends in income inequality in the United States. I have never said that the Federal Reserve is the right agency to deal with those when asked what contribution.
Well, then why are you talking about it?
Because
I mean, you're one of the most powerful
women also,
in the world.
I'm sorry. I've also talked about long-run budget problems and deficit problems country, and they're your responsibility.
But you went to great lengths this morning, Madam Chair, and I think correctly so, to point out that you're not political. And when you start to talk about items that are outside of your jurisdiction,
every
outside
Federal
of your portfolio,
Reserve
you are being
chair,
political.
All of my predecessors have talked about large, important economic trends and problems affecting the country. Whether it has to do with trade or productivity
will
or
you agree
developments
with your predecessor
in energy
that monetary
markets, and I feel
time.
That I am entitled to do
time.
The same.
Labor rates.
Time of the gentleman has expired.
Thank you.
Fed Chair Yellen and Representative Mulvaney in a Capitol Hill hearing room yesterday. Sears just now reported its 11th straight quarterly loss, this one for the last 3 months of last year, the holiday shopping period. Revenues were down by nearly a quarter, same-store sales down 4.4%. But as Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, one bright spot for Sears, it's real estate.
At a Sears in northwest Baltimore, only the occasional customer could be spotted amid the rows of mattresses, dishwashers, and rack after rack of clothes on clearance. Shopper Kim Adim, whose husband used to work at Sears, was surprised to see it so empty.
I told my daughter when I went in, I'm like, there are not a lot of shoppers in there. What's going on?
What's going on is that Sears is on life support after 31 straight quarters of falling sales. The company has proposed creating a real estate investment trust that would buy hundreds of its stores and then lease them back to the company. David Towle with the hedge fund Maglin Capital says that would give Sears a cushion of cash.
It doesn't seem like there is going to be a 90-degree turn on a dime for the fortunes of this company. So therefore, it's going to need to buy more time by having additional liquidity.
Towle says the company's best hope is to slow its losses until it chooses bankruptcy or engineers a comeback. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
A quick check of numbers. The FT 100 index in London, some call it the FTSE, is flat right now. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. In this global economy, nearly everything is connected in sometimes subtle and instructive ways. We're exploring that in a series we're doing with the BBC. It's called Six Routes to Riches, which traces how some people make it in the global economy. Our riddle this morning, what connects the following? A $500 pair of sunglasses at a boutique in China, a downturn in Eastern Europe's Croatia, and a pair of gloves in Berlin. Here's Marketplace's Chrissy Clark.
So here's the short answer to the riddle.
My name is Nadia Tobias.
A woman named Nadia Tobias, who works at a factory in Berlin.
And I'm working in the quality control department, where we do quality control.
Quality control for high-end eyeglasses frames, produced by a company called Makita. Their company's motto, handmade in Berlin. As Nadia runs her hands along the frames and stems of the hundreds of glasses produced here every day, feeling for imperfections, she's wearing a pair of white inspection gloves.
So I don't leave so much like fingerprints.
She runs her gloved finger over a tiny bump near the end of a stem.
For example, here you can like a little bit touch here.
Okay.
Probably you're not gonna see it and feel it.
You really need to know.
Yeah. You develop some kind of like micro way of looking at these small objects.
That micro way of looking at things, that attention to detail and quality, is part of why Nadia's employer, Makita, can charge $500 for a pair of sunglasses. Chris Leicht is Makita's head of global sales.
That's what makes a Makita frame a Makita frame. Why it's worth the extra cost.
Of course, until recently, you couldn't sell a pair of $500 sunglasses just anywhere. These days, though, Chris says he's got customers who can pay that much in places all over the world, even, say, a boutique in China, thanks to that country's rising middle class.
There is, of course, growing opportunities for us that made it possible in China for us now to be present.
So we've connected the white inspection gloves in Berlin to the $500 pair of sunglasses in China. What about that final piece of the riddle, the economic slump in Croatia? That brings us back to Nadia, the white-gloved factory worker. Nadia is originally from Croatia.
I finished my master's degree in literature, and then I couldn't find a job.
Something she spent a lot of time beating herself up about.
Thinking, like, I could do more, I could work more, and you start to blame yourself that maybe you're not, like, doing enough.
So, like many well-educated young people in the economically depressed parts of Europe, Nadia moved to Germany, where the economy's doing much better. And she found a job at that glasses factory.
I realize it's not a problem in me.
It's just one more part of the global economy. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
You can see and hear more of our collection of stories about these global connections at marketplace.org. And the next Marketplace weekend, we'll have host Lizzie O'Leary reporting from Brazil on some of this. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.